This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you all doing? Did you receive any handout? What does the handout say? As-siratun nabawiyyah. The prophetic biography. What does that mean? What are we going to begin today? Inshallah, from today we will begin the study of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي
يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا.
So the ayat that you just heard, there are verses from Surah Al-Ahzab 45-47 in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya أيها النبي, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. Indeed, we have sent you as a witness over humanity and as a bringer of good tidings. You have been sent to convey good news to all of mankind. Wa nadhira, and also as a warner. You have been sent to warn humanity. Wa da'iyan ila Allah. And we have also sent you as a caller to Allah. بِإِذْنِهِ, by His permission. وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا, and an illuminating lamp. The Prophet ﷺ, his personality, his life, is an illuminating lamp. In times of darkness, in times of difficulty, it is what gives us hope. It is what gives us guidance. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and those who do believe in you, give them good news. بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا, that they will have from Allah great bounty. So the one who believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who loves him, the one who follows his footsteps, then such a person will receive great fadl, great bounty, great favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life as well as the next life. And this is the reason why from today, inshallah, we will begin the study of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest man that lived in this world. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the study of the Prophet's life, it is known as seerah, right? And seerah, what does it mean literally? The word seerah is from sara yasiru, sayr. What do you think the root letters are? Seen, ya, ra. Good. Sara yasiru literally means to travel or to journey, to traverse. This is the literal meaning of the word. And then the word sira doesn't just apply to traveling or journeying, but it also applies to a sunnah or tariqah, the way, the condition of a person or a thing, the style, the way of a human being or of anything. You know, for instance, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى, in the context of Musa alayhi salam. That where Musa alayhi salam was told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, in Surah Taha, it is mentioned that, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى, O Musa, what is this in your hand? So he replied, هِيَ عَصَايَ, it is my stick, alright? And I do different things with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى, O Musa, throw it. So when Musa alayhi salam threw the stick, it turned into a snake. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى, it turned into a snake moving swiftly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ, take it, grab it, and don't fear. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى, we are going to return it to its former seerah, meaning to its former, to its first condition. How it was, its appearance, the way it was, we are going to turn it back. So you understand what seerah is? Literally it is to travel, but then it also applies to the condition, the appearance, the way, the method, the form of something or someone, of an insan, of a human being, or something else either, as well. يُقَالُ it is said, فُلَانٌ لَهُ سِيرَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ So-and-so has a very good seerah, meaning a very good manner, a very good style, a very good approach, his overall appearance, his overall way of dealing with people is very good, his nature, his disposition. Alright? So, this is the meaning of the word seerah, the literal meaning. Now, what does it mean when we say seerah, what are we referring to? The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the word seerah applies to biography. The way a person has lived his life. The way a person has journeyed through life. Alright? And the word seerah is basically biography. But in the Islamic context, when we use the word seerah, we are talking about whose biography? The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are not just looking at the battles that he fought. Because typically when we study the seerah, what is the emphasis on? What is the emphasis on? The battles. I mean, think about when you studied Islamic studies at school. Or when you went to maybe a Sunday school or something and you learned about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You learned a little bit about his birth and his upbringing and when he received prophethood. And then there was a whole long period of persecution. And then you skip all those 13 years and you move directly to the Medinan era. And then what happens? Every year, there was a battle. But seerah is not just the study of the expeditions or the battles in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would you call that seerah? Looking at the meaning of the word seerah? No. Seerah includes everything. If you look at this definition, وَسِيرَةُ النَّبَوِيَّةُ تَعْنِي مَجْمُوعُ مَا وَرَدَ لَنَا مِنْ وَقَائِعِ حَيَاةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَصِفَاتِهِ الْخُلْقِيَّةِ وَالْخَلْقِيَّةِ It applies to مَجْمُوعُ, all of that which has been reported to us, which has been narrated to us about the وَقَائِعِ. وَقَائِعِ, what word comes to your mind when you hear this? وَقَعَ, وَقَعَ, an incident. Alright? So of the various, all of the incidents, all of the occurrences that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is that? That is a seerah. Beginning from his birth to when he received prophethood. Alright? It includes the battles. It includes his travels. It includes his dealings with other people. Alright? It includes his marriages. It includes his victories as well as his loss. So for instance, when he lost his children or he lost his grandchildren, all right? So all of the incidents, all of the stories that we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that happened during his lifetime, that is part of seerah. But it doesn't stop there. Because remember, seerah is the form as well. The condition of something, the appearance of something, how something is. So then we can't just look at the events. But also, وَصِفَاتِهِ, also the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which kind of qualities? Which kind of characteristics? الْخُلْقِيَّةِ وَالْخَلْقِيَّةِ His characteristics, which are both his khuluq as well as his khalq. What is khuluq? The character of a person. Their manner. Their mannerisms. So for instance, when we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't just look at the events that took place in his life, but also his nature, how he reacted in certain situations, how he led people, how he forgave people, how he nurtured them, how he taught them, how he changed them, how he affected them. This is also part of the study of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not just his khuluq, but also his khalq. His physical appearance. This is also part of the seerah. You know, for instance, if you hear about a person, that so-and-so person is very famous, what is one of the first things you do? You Google their name. Alright? And when you Google their name, you find a Wikipedia entry or something. Right? What are you looking for? A picture. A picture as well. You want to know what they look like. You want to know if they're a man or a woman. Right? You want to know about their physical appearances. That's one of the first things you want to know about a person. So when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, we also want to know, how was his physical form? How was his hair? How did the Sahaba describe his face? How did they describe his style of walking? His style of dress? So صفاتي الخلقية والخلقية and مضافا إليها غزواته وصراياه صلى الله عليه وسلم. And along with this also the غزوات, the battles, the expeditions that took place during the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this means that as we study the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we're going to be looking at all of these different angles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's life. Inshallah. And this is what really makes it a comprehensive and all-inclusive study. You know, for instance, if you are learning about a particular human being and only their accomplishments or their work is mentioned, then you wonder, but where are they from? What is their background? Right? Who are they related to? You want to know about all of that as well. You want to know all those details. So when you learn about all the relevant details about a person, then you have a proper understanding, a complete understanding of who they are. So when it comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is necessary that as we study his life, what he did, where he went, who he was about his victories, we also learn about his character, about his manner, as well as his physical appearance and his family. And so on and so forth. Now, there is a big question, which is that before we do anything, we need to ask ourselves, is this important? Is this necessary? So anything that we do in life, we need to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Is it really important? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy? Is it worth taking a place in my mind and occupying my, and taking a big portion of my mental bandwidth? Because already there's so much on my plate. So is it really necessary for me to add this to my life? To add this endeavor to my life? Is it important? So when it comes to the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, let me ask you, is it important to study the life of Rasulullah ﷺ? Why? Raise your hand. Okay, we in order to live our lives properly, successfully, okay? We have been told to obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we don't know who he was, how he was, then how are we meant to obey him? Yes. Okay. In order to follow him properly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Good. All right. Yes. Okay. He was described as the walking Quran. So, in order for us to live the Quran, we need to know how he lived the Quran. Yes. So, mashallah, all the answers you gave are very good. So let's go through them one after the other. First and foremost, remember that the Quran, the word of Allah, it was revealed upon who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of all people that existed on the earth at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Arabs. Out of all the Arabs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Quraysh. And from among all the people of the Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a specific family, the clan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from them, he chose Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to receive the Quran and to pass on the Quran. So there must be something about him. There must be something too special about him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to receive the Quran and pass it on. So who was he? How did he live? It is necessary that we come to know of the Hamilul Qur'an, the carrier of the Qur'an. Because you see, after the Qur'an is the first, the primary source of guidance for us. Correct? And then after that, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we need to study the Qur'an, and we also need to study the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and along with the Sunnah, his seerah as well, how he lived. Because unless and until we study the Qur'an and the Prophet ﷺ, we cannot have a complete understanding of the Book of Allah. We cannot understand the deen correctly. So alhamdulillah, now you have taken a step to learn the deen better, right? To have a better understanding of the Book of Allah. And for that you are studying the Qur'an. But remember that the Qur'an cannot be properly understood unless and until you also know the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first reason is fahmul Qur'an. The reason why we study the seerah is what? To understand the Qur'an. These days, which surah are you studying in tafsir? Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah was a Makki surah or a Madani surah? Madani surah. Why is it necessary to know if it was a Makki surah or Madani surah? What does it mean by that? When, in which period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was the surah revealed? Why is it important to know? Yes? We cannot understand the verses. You know, for instance, you read the ayah about the disbelievers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. So you wonder, why? But then when you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ and you see 13 years of his life in Makkah, he was conveying. If in 13 years and later on as well, these people don't believe and instead they're waging war against him, then yes, they're not going to believe. After those ayat, you move on to the verses about the munafiqun, the hypocrites. I mean, who are these hypocrites? Who are they? Can you understand them? Unless you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you cannot. Right? So, the Qur'an cannot be understood without context. And what is the context of the Qur'an? The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why it is said that as-siratu nabawiyya la ghina anha li fahmi al-Qur'an. The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot be free of it. You cannot do without it when it comes to understanding the Qur'an. It doesn't just supplement. It helps you understand the Qur'an properly. Without the seerah, if you eliminate the seerah, you can really not understand the Qur'an. It is impossible. You know, for instance, you move on to Surah Ali Imran, Surah An-Nisa, and then eventually, inshallah, Surah At-Tawbah. There are so many verses that talk about, you know, for instance, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Badr, the expedition to Tabuk. Those verses you cannot understand unless you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first reason is what? Fahm al-Qur'an, to understand the Qur'an. Another reason is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the Qur'an, Allah has commanded us numerous times to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you think of an ayah where we have been told to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then follow me, meaning follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is for you in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful and excellent example. So we have been encouraged, we have been commanded to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you say, okay, I want to follow him. How? How can you follow him if you don't know how he lived? How can you follow him if you don't know what he did? If we don't know him? So, we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Another reason is fahmul aqidatul islamiyya, to understand the aqidah, the Islamic aqidah. What is our belief as Muslims? What is it that we believe in? Okay, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His oneness. We believe in the hereafter, alright? We believe in the messengers, you know, about the six pillars of faith, right? Now, we see that over time there have been many deviations, alright? There have been groups that have said, you know, for instance, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been completely distorted, alright? And these people claim to say what they're saying in support of the deen, in defense of the deen. These days also you will find many people who want to water down the deen, who want to change the deen in order to make it more acceptable. Alright? So that they can, or so that they can follow their own desires. But when you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you see, what is it that the Prophet ﷺ lived to promote? What was he promoting? Right? What was the belief that he was passing on to the people, that he made sure people would understand and accept and live by? You know, recently somebody came up to me and they were saying that in their family, the particular sect or the particular group that they are from, they say that the Prophet ﷺ and Ali radiallahu anhu, certain beliefs about them which basically take them to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even greater, even higher. And I said that, but this completely contradicts what the Prophet ﷺ brought. The Prophet ﷺ came to teach people that Allah is one, worship Allah alone. That is what he struggled for. Right? So, if you say that no, it's not necessary to believe that Allah is one and unique in His attributes, then what are you doing? You're completely negating everything that the Prophet ﷺ brought. So remember, in order to preserve our aqidah, in order to properly understand our aqidah, it is also important that we study the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Because if you eliminate the study of his life, then you can interpret any ayah anyway. Right? You can interpret anything anyway. So it preserves our deen also. For the preservation of our religion, we study the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Another major reason is to perfect our iman. For the perfection of our faith. Because in a hadith we learned, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. That none of you is a believer until I am dearer to him than his child, his father, and the whole of mankind. Those of you who are mothers, think about your children. And think about your parents. Do you love your children? Of course. Do you love your parents? Of course. The mention of your parents, I mean, brings tears to your eyes. Right? Moves your heart. All those fond memories, they come to your mind. And why? Because you love them. Somebody dare say a word against your parents or against your children. Somebody criticize your children, even if they are wrong. What happens? We become very upset. Why? Because we love our children. We love our parents. But the Prophet ﷺ said that he should be more beloved to us than our own family. How can we love him if we don't know him? How? How can we love him if we don't know about the struggles that he went through? You know, for instance, many girls, yeah, they like their parents, they like their mother, they appreciate everything that their mothers have done. But when they go through, you know, motherhood, when they go through pregnancy and childbirth, then what happens? Mom, I love you. I love you. Right? It's as if you didn't love your mother before. And now you begin to love her because now you know what it means to be a mother. Right? So when you get to know about the struggles of your parents, that increases you in your love for them. Likewise, when we study the life of the Prophet ﷺ and we see his struggles, we see his efforts, we see his patience, then naturally that will increase us in our love for him. And the thing is, you can't love somebody unless you know them. It's not possible. You can't love them. Loving the Prophet ﷺ is a part of our iman. And in order to perfect our iman, we're going to study his life so that we can love him even more. Also another reason is that when we study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, then the seerah is a guidance for us. It brings us hope. The Prophet ﷺ, you could very easily say that he lived a very, very difficult life. He had many enemies. He lived through poverty. He lived through hunger. Right? He had a big responsibility that he could not abandon. Right? He had a big family also. Right? And obviously when you have a big family, a large family, you have lots of family issues also. Right? So we see that at every level, the Prophet ﷺ, he faced a lot of challenges. And when you're going through challenges in your life, and when you think about the life of the Prophet ﷺ, gives you hope. If he could do it, inshallah I can also do it. If Allah tested him, right, then Allah can also test me. And then when you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, how did he deal with that particular situation, with that particular test, with that challenge? Then that is a source of guidance for you. Because life is not free of problems, or is it? Each person is being tested in a different way. isn't it? Each person. So for instance, one person, they're being tested through their children, through their loved ones, their close ones, who are leaving the deen, or who are not interested in the deen, who have abandoned the salah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, did he have close relatives who weren't even Muslim? Yes, he had. How did he deal with that situation? What did he do? Likewise, you know, there's another person who's going through the loss of a loved one. Spouse, child, friend, parent. And when you look at the Prophet ﷺ, did he lose a child? Yes, he did. Did he lose his wife? Yes, he did. So when you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ, it really brings you hope, brings you positive energy. It guides you through your most difficult situations. The Prophet ﷺ brought about the greatest revolution. He changed the lives of people. How did he do it? You have a goal, you want to do something. You look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ. How did he do it? In Surah Hud, ayah 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We relate to you the stories of the prophets, and through them, we strengthen your heart. So in the Quran, Allah has told us about many stories of the prophets, which are a means of strengthening our heart. So when we look at the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, that is also a source of strengthening our hearts. It brings us hope. Then we also see that the study of the seerah strengthens our faith. It brings us yaqeen. It brings us conviction that yes, this deen is haqq. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's amazing how within 2 decades, he completely revolutionized Arabia. And not just Arabia, all of mankind. It's amazing. And it's not just Muslims who acknowledge this, but many non-Muslims also, historians, that acknowledge this. You'll find so many people writing in favor of the Prophet ﷺ, praising his efforts, praising the revolution literally that he brought, that how Arabs were before Islam, all right, and how they became after the Prophet ﷺ came to them. The people who were busy killing each other, literally killing each other, brother fighting brother, one tribe fighting another tribe, warring constantly. But what happened when the Prophet ﷺ came? These men turned into brothers. People who were busy killing one another, now they became, you know, people with concern and care for humanity. So when you see that the Prophet ﷺ, how he brought about this change and how Islam was established, you see the persecution that the Prophet ﷺ went through in the early years, but despite that, the deen was established. You see that his enemies turned into his best friends. People who wanted to kill him turned into those who wanted to defend him. So when you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you really realize that yes, this religion is haqq. It is definitely true. There's no doubt about it. Because if it was not haqq, it would not have survived. It would not have been established. So it's a means of strengthening our faith. And this is why, you know, scholars, for example, Ibn Hazm, he says that by Allah, if the Prophet ﷺ did not have any miracle except the miracle of his companions, all right, then that would have been sufficient. Meaning, the way the companions were transformed, the way they were changed, that in itself is an evidence to the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ. How the Arabs changed. I mean, that shows that yes, the Prophet ﷺ was definitely haqq. So it's a means of strengthening our faith. Then another benefit of studying the seerah is that we learn the practical side of our deen. All right. So for example, in the Quran, you learn about various ahkam, you know, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. So for instance, in the Quran, one of the first things that you learned was, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Out of what we have given them, they spend. So when you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you see how he spent in the way of Allah. All right. When you study his life, you also study the lives of the companions. Right? That how did they spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So for example, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. It means two things. One is, some of that which we have given them, they spend. Not all of it, but some of it. And it can also be understood as, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And that which we have given them, they spend. Now we see both of these in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So for instance, during his life was the expedition to Tabuk. All right, a very difficult expedition. So what happened? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he brought everything he had. Umar radiallahu anhu came and he brought half of what he had. So you understand what it means to spend in the way of Allah. All right? You learn about iqamatu salah. Alladhina yuqimuna salah. So how is it that we are supposed to establish the prayer? When you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you see when he did hijrah, one of the first things he did was he built the masjid. He built the masjid. The muadhin was appointed. The adhan was given. The people came together to pray. And those who did not come to pray, what the Prophet ﷺ said with regards to them. Right? So you learn what it means to establish the prayer when you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And then, you know, it's like the practical side. You study the law, the theory, but then how are you meant to implement it? In the Quran, we're told, be patient. How? When you study the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you see times when he was extremely patient. All right? So you learn the practical aspect of the deen. And then one of the benefits is also loving the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. The Sahaba, who were they? The best generation. They were the best generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them. Allah is happy with them. So when you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you realize the value of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You appreciate him. You also appreciate Umar radiallahu anhu. You appreciate Uthman radiallahu anhu. You appreciate Bilal radiallahu anhu. Right? So all of these companions, you learn about them. And you learn why Allah was pleased with them. How did they support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How did they obey him? How did they show their love? All right? So these are some of the benefits of studying the seerah. Another is that we can also defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam better. I mean, there have always been times when people have, you know, insulted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have, said things or written things or shown things which insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they criticize something about him, a decision that he made. You know, for instance, one particular Jewish tribe, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he decided that the men amongst them be killed. And this is something that is hailed over and over again in criticism of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or for example, he married such a young girl, Aisha radiallahu anha, or he married so many wives. Now when these things are said, we're like, yes, we don't know what to say, right? We don't know how to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you study the seerah, you know why he married so many wives. You know why he married Aisha radiallahu anha. You know why he decided that the men amongst that Jewish tribe be killed. Then you can defend him. Because how can you defend someone you don't know? You can't. So in order to defend the Prophet ﷺ, also remember that we study the seerah in order to carry on this tradition. Because this was the way of the Sahaba. The Sahaba would teach their children about the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sahaba after them, the Tabi'un and the Tabi'un. So for example, Ali ibn Husayn, the great grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that we would teach our children Maghazi just like we would teach them the Qur'an. Maghazi refers to the expeditions, the battles and the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So how did they teach the Maghazi to their children? Just like the Qur'an. Right? So this has been the tradition of the people who love this deen. So we also want to be part of that tradition. We also love this deen. And we want to keep this tradition alive. How? By studying the seerah and by teaching the seerah. Now, when we study the seerah, when we study anything, we need to know where we're taking our information from. So when we study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, where do we get the seerah from? How do we learn about the life of the Prophet ﷺ? You know, for instance, you read a biography of a famous personality and then you wonder, where did they get all this information from? So you find out, at the end of the book, how this person got all that information. Through an interview, right? Or by spending time with them, or by asking so many people, their research of 20 years, of 10 years, of 5 years, Right? So when we're studying the seerah, where are we getting the information from? First and foremost, from the Qur'an. Are there any references to the Prophet's life in the Qur'an? Yes, many references. Look at the 30 juz. There's the mention of Ashabul Fil, the army of Abraha. Right? So that refers to what happened before the Prophet ﷺ's birth. Right? Then after the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, we see that at one occasion, Jibreel came and he cut open his chest, took his heart out and cleaned it, washed it. Is that mentioned in the Qur'an? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Right? And then Badr, Uhud, so many battles, Hijrah is mentioned, the persecution that he faced, that is mentioned over and over again. So we take the seerah from the Qur'an. And not just the Qur'an, but also from the books of tafsir. Because in order to understand the Qur'an, you need to know the seerah. Right? So as people taught the explanation of the Qur'an, they also taught the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is recorded in the books of tafsir. Then after that, we also look at the hadith collections. Because the hadith is what? The words which transfer an incident in the Prophet's life. So when you look at the hadith, you learn about the various incidents that occurred in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ. So you look at the hadith collections. So for instance, Bukhari, Muslim, Ibn Majah, so on and so forth, At-Tirmidhi. Because every single hadith is a snapshot of the seerah, of the Prophet's life. Then after that, we also look at the classical works on seerah. There are many books which have been written about seerah, and there are many classical books also. So books that were written at a very, very early period, soon after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. And inshallah, we'll go into that. And there are also biographies of the Sahaba, which have been written. And from them, we also learn about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's also many books of history that we look at. Now, there are many works on seerah, some of the major works. We see that one of the very early books written on the seerah was the seerah of Ibn Ishaq. Have you heard about this? Ibn Ishaq? You will hear this a lot in tafsir. A lot. Alright, so Sirah Ibn Ishaq. Ibn Ishaq, the great historian, he died in the year 151 after Hijrah. Alright, just imagine, 150 years after Hijrah, this man dies. And he has already written a book on the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Alright, this is one of the earliest books that we have. Then we see that in the year 218 after Hijrah, Ibn Hisham died. Alright, and he wrote the famous book Sirah Ibn Hisham. Alright? Now, Ibn Ishaq was born in Medina. He lived in Medina. He met many children of the Sahaba. Some have said that he must have even met or seen the Sahaba. And he lived in Medina, so you can imagine how much exposure he must have had to the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So, he recorded everything that he had heard. And this is the reason why Ibn Ishaq's work is 10 to 12 volumes. It's massive. It's huge. All right, and Ibn Hisham, what he did was that he basically summarized Sirah Ibn Ishaq. He didn't summarize it. You can say that he deleted many portions of it. Because Ibn Ishaq, he wrote from the beginning of time. So for example, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam's life in great detail. So Ibn Hisham, he deleted everything that was not that relevant, and he focused only on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we see that in the year 310 after Hijrah, there was a book on the seerah written by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Have you heard of this name? Al-Tabari? Tabari? Perhaps you've heard it. If you haven't, you should become familiar with these names. Then we see that in the year 456 after Hijrah, Ibn Hazm. Have you heard of the name Ibn Hazm? He also wrote something on seerah. 597 after Hijrah, Ibn al-Jawzi. He wrote something on the seerah. 751 after Hijrah, Ibn Qayyim Jawzi. Ibn al-Qayyim, have you heard of his name? He wrote something on the seerah. 852, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. He wrote on the seerah. So the point that I'm making over here is that in every century you see, there was some major work on the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the point is that seerah, when we learn about the life of the Prophet ﷺ, it's not like people made up stories. No. These incidents were narrated. They were related generation to generation. Just like hadith is passed on. And the seerah is taken from the hadith. There's strict criteria. All right? And then there are many famous books on seerah. One is Sahih, A Seerah Nabawiyyah by Shaykh Albani. Another is Al-Rahiq Al-Makhtum by Mubarak Puri. And what we're going to be looking at is When the Moon Split. Who's the author? Mubarak Puri. Right? Same author as Al-Rahiq Al-Makhtum. It's a very short book, as you can see. And inshallah, we will be reading through this book. And wherever I find necessary, inshallah, I will add some more detail to it. Because Ibn Ishaq, his collection was 10 to 12 volumes. Alright? So we also want to go into a little bit depth. But our focus is not just going to be looking at the story of the Prophet's life, but also extracting lessons from it. Inshallah. So are you ready for this? Inshallah. So tomorrow, make sure you bring your book so that you can get to know better about the life of the greatest man that lived on this earth. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.